9-5. I don't see why you're not coming in, Bob. Yeah.
The opinions and views expressed by the host
and guest are not
necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network.
Huh?
Broadcasting to the world.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
That's you, 347. Yeah. You should be on now. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solo Channel Sports In Depth show live from MetLife Stadium, the Dallas Cowboys. And the New York Giants, Super Bowl champion Giants, open their season right now. It is halftime. And the ledger is showing that the Giants are a little, and got some guests here. Getting a quick halftime show here together. And I got Bobby Childs from the legendary Bill. But Pulitzer Prize writer, one of the legends in this business, and just been a long time friend, role model, hero. Legendary Dave Anderson, and Dave is just going to say welcome to being here, and much of a big defendant if you're here tonight.
Dave, if I'm correct, now you were the last sports writer to walk out of the legendary Ebbets Field.
I didn't plan that. No, I really didn't. It turned out that after the last game there, Danny McDevitt shut out the Pirates 2-0. This is 1957. Probably most people there were born. But anyway, Bill Rose and I were the last two writers, as we always were every night. And we came down, it was like a night watchman door that we went out to late at night, you know, well after. And we weren't the last people in this ballpark. Still people cleaning up and everything. We were the last two writers. And as we got to that door, Bill was walking slightly ahead of me, and I was just, you know, but I wasn't thinking of. And then after I crossed the threshold of that door, it just occurred to me that, hey, I'm the last writer. I kind of forgot about it. I really did. And then I never talked about it, never bragged about it. It just happened. I didn't plan it or anything. And then almost 50 years later, I wrote about it in the Times. I was doing about circumvention. That's all people want to talk to me about now. So it was not an accident. It just happened.
Yeah, it was history. And, you know, it's amazing they don't talk about your Pulitzer Prize. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, I think more people are aware that I was the last guy to leave at the field than they are that they want a Pulitzer Prize. And that's fine. Good.
Well, you've been one of the great writers and one of the great human beings around it. And, you know, you've been such a part of the New York Bible and some of the people. I mean, you wrote a great book about Ray Robinson. Is Ray Robinson the best ever?
Best boxer, sure.
Why?
He could do anything. Could have boxer, he could have punching, could have banter, could do it. He's great. And he did it in three divisions. I mean, you know, he can. He didn't invent it, but the word, the phrase, pound for pound.
Yeah, that's him.
Was developed because of him. He was pound for pound. It was never been. And everybody who remembers him from that era, I think he could own virtually 100%. They will all say that Robinson is the best fighter.
Well, he was Ollie's idol. Ollie's idol. You were in the era of when baseball was at its best, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees. Every year for 10 years, one of the teams were in the World Series for a 10-year period that one of the players from that team won the MVP. There was a six times that it happened for voting. You know, Joseph Paul DiMaggio, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle.
Roy Campanella.
Roy Campanella, Yogi Berra. Was Mays the best ever all-around player?
Well, I mean, people who saw DiMaggio always raved about DiMaggio. No, there was no television then, really. You had to go to the ballpark to see these guys. And I lived in Brooklyn, Yankee Stadium, like in Alaska. So I used to just go to the field.
Yeah, you know,
I grew up a National League fan. But I wasn't a Dodger fan as much as I was a baseball fan. Like, I love Stan Musial. You know, Frank Musial.
Well, he got the name from
Stan,
that Mannequin that would hit it, almost tore the wall down.
And I love the Cardinals. I mean, I love the best players.
Mm-hmm.
The best team.
Mays and
Musial. Well, Mays was great. Yeah,
I'm saying it was
when you think about it, New York didn't see that much of Willie Mays.
Well, he's here in 51, 2 years in the service, and he's gone.
He's gone after 3 or 4 years.
And you talk about
15 years, he was never in New York.
Candlestick Park. So, yeah.
I hesitate to say anybody was the greatest player. The only player you can say was the greatest in a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you can say that is he not only hit all these home runs, he was the best pitcher in the American League before they called him in the outfield.
And he had the World Series record.
I mean, this guy was a great pitcher. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever been a great hitter and a great pitcher.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you, how did it all start for you? I mean,
I just said I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn and Bay Ridge and reading the papers. I mean, that's all we had in the 40s. There was hardly any radio. Sure, you had Tully My Play. There were no radio shows. The only radio show I remember was quarter to seven every night, Stan Womack on WLO. Give you the scores from that day. Because they were all afternoon games. It was hardly any night game when I was a little kid. And then you read the papers, and I wanted to. You know, I love reading the sports columnist, and I wanted to be a sports columnist. And,
right? What was your first paper you first wrote with?
Well, first paper was because my father worked in advertising for the New York Sun back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So he would bring the papers home at night. He'd bring all the papers home. The Royal Telegram and Sun. And the Sun, and then the before the Sun became the World Telegram and Sun, it was just the Sun, and it was just the World Telegram. And then in the morning you had the New York Times, you had the Herald Tribune, you had the News and the Mirror, and you read them all. Yeah.
I know you want to get back to it real quickly because I can buy each other. I'll say the names. Reflections. Muhammad Ali.
What about?
What's your first quote when I said that?
Yogi line. Somebody said, word association, Mickey Mantle. What about it? Willie Mays, great player. Yeah.
Ali, greatest heavyweight of all time?
No. Well, that's the reason. I've always said, and I wrote this, I thought at their best, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, each at their best.
Mm-hmm.
The only time each was at his best was the first fight in the Garden. And Frazier decisively won that fight.
Well, I got to think Ali, after 3-year layoff, he wasn't really at his best.
Well, no, he had had two fights.
But he had lost three years.
That's the Ali argument.
Okay.
But still, he had had two fights. And one went, what, 15 rounds?
So it wasn't like he just came out. Came off the street.
Yeah.
Sandy Koufax.
Greatest pitcher, certainly one of the greatest pitchers. But,
yeah, I mean,
shame his arm hurt, but, you know, he was wise at the top.
Michael Jordan?
Terrific. Yeah, all these guys are great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not giving me any of your, bad boys here.
Dave, I know you're going to say, what has been, it's hard to sum up, Pulitzer Prize winner, great journalist, great human being. What's been some of the highlights of your career? I mean, something that stand out. I mean, you covered so many. You were there when Ali won, in the Rumble in the Jungle.
I covered 32 Ali fights, but I also covered 38 the U.S. Open golf tournament, 38 Masters. And I never ended up the World Series. Yeah, I covered 38 Super Bowls.
Wow.
So, I just went where the big names were. There's no mystery to this. You just went to it. That was the job.
The big talk has been the other day. Tiger Woods made $100 million.
Yeah.
You ever kind of amazing, isn't it?
No, because he created the bigger money. Golf pros made good money, but then when he came on, there was so much excitement about him that they kept adding to the purses.
Yeah.
So all these golfers have made more money because of him, because he lifted all the purses.
To another level.
And winning all the tournaments he has, he just passed Jack Nicklaus's number of tournament victories.
Right, yeah, he's number three.
Tournaments were worth so much more.
Money, right.
I mean, if Jack Nicklaus were playing in that same era, he'd have $100 million.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Solar Channel Sports Network Show, halftime at the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Bobby Charles, jump on the line here. You got a couple of questions for Mr. Anderson, then we'll question you.
You ask him questions.
Hey, I'm always around, like, just enamored by historians who just bought, baseball before my time and made it all real.
Right.
So it's just an honor to be around him right now and just listen to the stories. Actually, I grew up next to the Polo Ground, so my question is, what's your most memorable Polo Ground moment?
The Willie Mays catch, at that World Series,
And
yet, everybody thinks that was a great catch. I didn't think it was that great a catch. No, really, think about
it.
All he did was outrun the ball. I've always said that to have a great catch, you have to have one of three things involved.
Okay.
Either the wall, you have to... Another player, you and the center fielder and the right fielder are going for the same ball, or the ground. It's got to be a diving catch in the ground. That all those catches are, to me, better than what Willie made. The most important part of that catch was not the catch. It was how quickly he spun around and
got
the ball
to throw
back.
It. That's right.
But the catch itself, he just ran and catched the ball.
That is great. It's great. So what's your memories of Roberto Clemente? Was he someone who...
I didn't have that many.
Didn't have that many.
I wasn't covering that much baseball when he was playing. I mean, I remember seeing him. I'm sure I saw him a few games, but never enough. But he was a great player, great arm.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great. I mean, one of the great arms.
That's great.
As well as being a great hitter.
So when you think about where you grew up, you talk about just reading papers, not a lot of television, listen to it on radio.
No television.
No television, right? And then you see how much television has played into it and everything. Well,
sure.
So what are some of the most different things that you've noticed in your career in terms of covering baseball?
Well, covering anything. Years ago, you just went to, it was just baseball or football or basketball. Now it's all show business. It has to be, and it should be. But, I would take the old-time way because it was so much simpler and much more fun. And you didn't have all this noise and music blasting in. And it's, you sat there and watched the game and enjoyed the game.
Yeah. So when you look back at the way pitchers pitch back when you first started covering, and then you look at a Steven Strasburg, who they have him on an innings count for the Nationals, and he's not going to finish the season, but they have a shot to go to the playoffs. So
well,
what do you think of that?
The only thing you can say that maybe they're right is that he's coming off surgery a year.
Okay.
But so it's hard to say they're wrong. But when you look back and you think, I remember Stan Kasten, who's the greatest executive now with the Dodgers, when he was with the Nationals and Strasburg first came up, I was going to call him, but he said, well, there's never been a pitcher like this kid. And I'm saying, hey, Bob Feller, not only was like him, he was younger. Bob Feller, people don't realize this. Bob Feller grew up on a farm in Iowa, Van Meter, Iowa, throwing, pitching, having catch with his father in the backyard of the farm.
Wow.
And he joined the Cleveland Indians at age 17 in, I think, August of 1936 or 37. Struck out 18 in the game to set an American League record and went back to high school. He had just, that was before his senior year in high school. And they let him graduate that year in January so he could go to spring training with the Indians. He was 18.
That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
You know, fellow was Strasburg long before Strasburg.
That's right. And did he make his prom in time?
They never said, oh, we're going to protect your arm, you know. Yeah, he just threw. Yeah, he threw
wow.
300 innings. Yeah.
Wow. So 300 innings.
Yeah, he was built stronger even as a teenager than Strasburg.
Right.
So you can't say Washington's wrong in doing it, but you kind of wish they didn't just as let him to see him pitch.
Yeah. And all of that, and he still missed his high school prom. To throw all those kind of pitches back there, Bob Feller, and never make his high school prom is pretty amazing, huh? That's great.
They may not have had a prom back then, huh?
I'm sure they did back in the big farm, in the big farmhouse back there, bales of hay out there. So when you think of in current days out there, and you look and see what's happening to the Boston Red Sox or, you know, what Bobby Valentine is going through out there, what do you just make of?
Well, that's happened in Boston forever. I mean, my grandson and I were talking, and he's a great Yankee fan, my grandson David, and he talked about how the Red Sox, and he mentioned the word, he said, well, they're dysfunctional, you know, and they are. They've been dysfunctional since 1920. I mean, they've been so dysfunctional, they traded Babe Ruth.
That's true.
They've been dysfunctional except for a few moments.
It's just amazing when I and so many people saw that this was coming the way Bobby Valentine, you know, he just has a track record of wearing guys out. I think the surprise is that it happened so fast.
Well,
in his first year.
They're wearing him out, too. You know.
Yeah.
But also, they traded, I mean, the players they had, they traded just three of his best players that just traded, hoping the prospects will help them. Maybe they will.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how the season plays out, whether or not
He did not walk into a stable situation.
Right. Yeah, so it's a question of whether or not they're going to clean house and still keep him there, or whether they'll just clean house and get rid of everyone.
When you have Bobby Valentine in Boston, it's like having two cans of gasoline. You know, I mean, sooner or later they're going to blow.
Yeah, well, it's pretty combustible over there. It's pretty combustible over there. I think Doc's ready to jump back in here, right, Doc?
I mean, there's two, you know, Boston and Bobby and the players and the Red Sox, they'll never be compatible.
Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Blake, Rainbow Solo Channel Sports Depth, the show. Mr. No, give us a call. You know, we talked about color, and one thing you didn't talk about, Bob, here's the guy, Bobby and you, Dave, you know, what people forget about. So Feller was exempt from the military. Bob Feller did not have to go to the military.
He enlisted right like the day after Pearl Harbor.
Oh, I thought.
No, he wasn't exempt or anything. I mean, he joined the Navy the day after Pearl Harbor. And served on ships in the Pacific in the combat. He had those Japanese Zeros flying in at him.
Flying all the time?
Yeah.
Another guy that did a lot of time in the military was the one and only Ted Williams. Dustin, everybody below. Dustin, we've got Bobby Childs here from WBLS, football maven, and another legend, the one and only Dave Anderson. Calm down, relax. I know some people around here. I know Dave. I know Bobby. They're here. So I've got Dave here. You may want to ask Bobby. You've got the football game. The Dallas Cowboys lead 7-3 against the Giants here at MetLife Field. Excuse me, Bobby Childs. Just correct me. I got Dave Anderson and Bobby Childs here. I know you have to ask Dave Anderson a question or two. So Mr. Anderson is on the line. He's willing and listening to talk. And Bobby Childs is here. So you get a chance. Hold on. Let me do a quick commercial spot. And we'll come on back and talk to Dave Anderson and Bobby Childs. And we got Angel Rosario. I'm looking for Mr. No to join us, too. So don't anybody move. Don't anybody say another word. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blue Lake with another Rainbow Soul Champs Sports Network. The show that's live. And the champs are getting eaten alive right now. Hang on.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hey, I'll take it.
I'm honored and pleasure to have two of my great friends Dave Anderson and Bobby Childs. I've got Mr. Anderson here, and I got Bobby Childs. You know both of them. I'll let you shoot a question at either one of them. Mr. Anderson, go first. Sweet, I'll be brief, as they do have to go home sometime tonight, Dusty. But Dave Anderson, Bobby Childs, go ahead.
My probably general, I heard the talk about the demise, in quotations, of the Boston Red Sox and Bobby Valentine. And I felt the voice of doom or the fear of doom as soon as they talked about bringing him in as a manager, because he's a walking death knell.
You know, there would be better situations for him to come to. You know, I mean, you could see that fire.
Certainly,
the fire was there before Bobby got there. As it always is with the Red Sox.
No, but do you really think that he was in the right
mix? The Red Sox
was in the right mix when
the players were
on the rise.
And Bobby are not, and never going to be compatible.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing he did was to get rid of one of the key players there, Kevin Youkilis. You know,
right?
Everything seems... Everything
well,
seems to go down.
I think the front office was willing to get rid of him, too.
Yeah. Because
he hasn't played that
well. Well, you know, the thing is that...
You know, when they made that trade, obviously they're trying to get rid of a lot of salary.
Especially guys
who weren't producing.
Yeah, basically he went down and cut out a lot of salaries, and now they're at the middle class level. But who they got and who they want to fit into these key spots, would that be
prospects are still a year or two or three away? So you know, you're going to have to wait to see how those prospects turn out.
So this is what I'm saying. If they're going to get rid of the productive players because of salary, this and the other, well, then it's
going
to be
the guys they got rid of aren't producing. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Angel Rosario was joining here, too. I think the big thing, Dusty, is the reason why they're going, this, and the record they have, is there was a big lack of production, and so reduction has been a result of their lack of production.
Well, you know, but then it's going to be another 80 years before they win the
World Series
again.
You know, he was very smart to leave, let's put it that way. He knew he was getting out of town before things started to fall apart.
Well, you know, Bobby Valentine basically.
So everybody was
Angel Rosado joining us here from Latino Sports.
Went and called out Kevin Youkilis, questioning, you know, his heart and questioning whether he had.
Youkilis wasn't playing well.
Right, and it's kind of snowballed. And a lot of guys didn't agree with it, didn't like how we called him out in public.
Well,
going back to the way they called
the same guys eating chicken and drinking beer before that.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, gang, real quickly, we want to take a break. Go back to Bobby. You got to go, Dave? Okay. Dave Anderson. Dave, thanks a lot for being
with us. Thank you.
The one and only
Dave
Anderson. Thank you, Dave.
Bobby Childs, you're going to run back behind Dave. Dave is now set to face. Bobby, let's talk about real quick,
by the way.
Dude, we're live.
Okay.
I'll give you a copy of the show.
Okay.
But Bobby, the World Champions are now behind.
They're down 14-3.
What's happening?
Well, the problems that the Giants had coming into the season, secondary problems, and offensive line, they're rearing their heads. They have Dallas has Kevin Ogletree, who is just killing the Giants out there. He just scored a touchdown, put them up 14-3.
Tremendous receiver. He's burying them.
He is out of Queens, New York. He's a Queens boy, and he's just eating them up.
Not spinning out the pieces out, man.
And another problem, Bobby, is we saw right in the middle of the second quarter when Molly did that pass and ran it down to the two, their short yardage game is going to be a problem for them all year.
Short yardage game,
they decided not to re-sign Brandon Jacobs. He went to San Francisco. And now you have a situation
Here's the point, Angela, and two Bobby. You know, this seems to be a redundant theme, not only in football, but professional sports. There's always a problem when it comes to paying a player of color. It wasn't the Patriots' way to pay Randy Moss, but Tom Brady had no power. Had no problem. It is. You know, I remember the reason why Emmitt Smith set out because they wouldn't pay him, but Troy Aikman got him. This just seems to be kind of the theme of society. When you're black, there's always a problem of getting green.
I can't buy that. I mean,
I think that you have to look.
Doc, it's a business. You got to realize.
You have to look at the fact that you know, the last couple of years, Brandon Jacobs wasn't performing the way he used to perform.
Okay.
And I think those are bigger factors than, you know, the fact that he happened to be African American.
Yeah, to me, it's about productivity. Like Andy said, it's about productivity. Brandon was not as productive. He's doesn't hit the holes the way he did. Everyone saw it last year. Great guy. Great guy to talk to, despite what many people portrayed him to be. He was a good guy to talk to, but it's about productivity. So you get a couple of young guys who can hit the hole fast that you can go for. The problem is their offensive line just doesn't move people out the way they used to in the running game. They do a decent job in pass protecting, and you see Eli's having a real good first half, aside from some of the drops between between Cruz and Bennett out there. But, you know, that's the problem the Giants had right coming into it, is their offensive line, could they establish a running game? Tonight they have not been able to do it. And then their secondary. And they gave up a late touchdown in the second quarter after dominating, moving the ball up and down the field. And, you know, it's one of those rare things where you see a personal foul on the bowling interception that worked in favor of the team that committed the personal foul. Because without that foul, he scores a touchdown.
Exactly.
So, you know, the Cowboys came in, you know, with a lot of holes out there. But right now, Rob Ryan, he has his defense playing a lot of zone coverage and mixing things up when the Giants are in the third down play. And he's actually causing the Giants not to be able to convert those third downs out there. The replacement refs are doing okay.
Let me make this one point. It's the first game of the season. Now, granted, it is the Dallas Cowboys, division rivals, and you definitely want to beat them because you're not getting
at home. It's a must game.
But it's not one of these, if they lose this game, they're in trouble. I mean, granted, the Giants have the toughest schedule of any team this year because you win the Super Bowl the year before, that's what's going to happen. But if you look at, again, what Bobby alluded to in terms of some of the drop passes, Cruz normally is making those catches, the rookie drops. Bennett, the new tight end, he did talk a lot of trash. He's playing in X team, and, you know, he wanted to make a statement. Well, right now he's not making a very positive statement. There's still a lot of time left, more than 7 minutes to go. The Giants are driving down the field. But, again, they've got to put 6 points on the board, and they got to hope that the defense will just be able to play like they did in that first half.
Dr. Stanley, 4-7 on the play. Never at Rainbow Soul, Channel 4-7 Show. Dave Anderson, Bobby Charles, and Lou Lazard. You know, quickly, you mentioned name line. Are the Giants, Bobby, that much better than the Jets?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the reason why. They have a much better quarterback. The Jets are still trying to figure out who's going to play quarterback. Mark Sanchez came into the league, had some early success, and right now he's still trying to find his way. The other reason is you look at their receivers. Who are the Jets' starting receivers? Santonio Holmes and a cast of surprise guests, I think, right? No offense to any Jet fans out there, but to ask that question, who's the better team right now, you just got to look and see the Giants. They're much more balanced on both sides. Now, defensively, I think the Jets have a sound defensive scheme. I'm not sold on their safeties. I think they're going to feel the effects of losing Jim Leonard. I think LeVron Landry, as big a hitter as he is, he also falls in love with hitting people, which means he runs out of position often. But they do have the best corners out there. So, and there's a great catch by Dominic Hickson right there. That's a very nice catch. So, yeah, right now the Giants are the better team in New York City, and we'll see what happens when the Jets, if they score a touchdown with their first-team offense, which everybody's waiting for.
And, Doc, let me make this point.
You think the Jets
are fortunate that you have a team like the Jets that are relying heavily on their defense, you know you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to be winning many games 10-7, 7-3, 6-0. And the way that Jet offense is looking right now, it looks like the defense is going to put more points on the board than their offense. You're not going to win in this league like that.
Okay, here's a question, gentlemen. The consensus is that Tim Tebow is eventually going to be the starting cornerback, quarterback for the New York Jets.
There goes Bradshaw, touchdown. We finally got a touchdown by running the ball. So I never thought Tebow was going to be a starting quarterback here. The only way he's going to be a starting quarterback is if Mark Sanchez gets hurt. When you look at Tebow, his mechanics are still so poor. You know, unless they decide to unveil the wishbone offense, I don't see how he's going to be the starting quarterback in here.
The wishbone?
The wishbone. He'd have to be the quarterback and the fullback in that.
The wishbone, Bobby?
Because he does his best when he is running out of the pocket.
Okay.
And you cannot sustain long-term success that way as a quarterback. Sanchez is a much better polished quarterback out there. I just don't see it in Tebow. You saw it in the preseason games out there. You know, he fires up, he runs the ball, and the next thing you know, he throws an interception. Just a poor read. It allows safeties to read him clearly because he has that long delivery. He mechanically, he's just not what you want back there on a regular basis. I don't care what they said about what he did in Denver. You know, what he did in Denver was he'd go 3 for 18, and two of those passes would come in the fourth quarter out there. And that's because the defense held him right. He is a better version of Bobby Douglas, the old Chicago Bear quarterback.
Wow. You're going back a little bit, Andrew.
That's right.
You know, I can't disagree with anything Bobby's saying in his evaluation of Tebow. I mean, he's throwing more balls in the dirt than Andy Pettit. You know, I mean, his mechanics are horrible. And if it wasn't for his legs, he probably wouldn't even be in the league. I mean, granted, the guy has a lot of heart. He has a lot of talent. He is a football player. He is just not a starting quarterback football player.
Gentlemen.
Well, can I ask a question here? Why, first of all, why the idiocy of bringing him from Denver when you had a quality, expert, experienced quarterback, Donovan McNabb, without a job, and he could have been brought to the Jets as a backup, and believe you me, it would have been a better mix than Tebow, who under the table may have been promised the starting job as a quarterback with the Jets, and he cannot play. He belongs in Denver. He doesn't belong in New York.
Two words:
public relations.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people are thinking that the move was made to bring attention to the Jets based on the fact that the Giants won the Super Bowl last year. They felt that they had to do something to get some attention. But
there are quality quarterbacks out there.
I agree.
Well, they're not going to accomplish anything by bringing two starting quarterbacks.
But again, both
of them are still erratic.
But he's not a starting quarterback. That's the misnomer.
But
he's not a starting quarterback.
Quarterback in Denver, not in New York.
He didn't. So here it is again, right? So they got rid of Kyle Orton in Denver to play Tim Tebow, and the reason they did that is because they were trying to sell some tickets because they knew they weren't going anywhere, and they got lightning in a bottle. And if they really, really believe that Tim Tebow was their future. Remember, they got John Elway there. John Elway would have kept Tim Tebow, and if they thought he was the future, they would have kept him to learn behind Peyton Manning. And the first opportunity they had to trade him, they traded because they know they got lucky. And trying to strike, you know, it's like getting hit by lightning twice. It's hard to get hit by lightning twice. So they got rid of him. They got their upside. And as Andrew said, he said two words. I'll give you one word: money. That's all they want. They want money. They want to be able to promote and make some money off of that kid. Because he's a feel-good story. He's the kind of guy that everybody wants their daughters to marry. You know, he'll never get in any trouble. He's the kind of guy that he makes his other teammates feel good about things. But he's not a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Well, let me give you a scenario that I see that's going to happen.
He's
going to play the Buffalo Bills at home Sunday, and Buffalo is a much improved team on both sides of the ball, and if you think that they felt a lot of heat in the preseason, they scored one offensive touchdown in four games, and that offensive touchdown came with their second unit, who was playing against the second unit of the Philadelphia Eagles. Watch what happens when they play Buffalo on Sunday, because I'm on record as saying I believe the Buffalo Bills are going to come in here and not only beat the Jets but embarrass them. And before you know it, the call for Tim Tebow replacing Mark Sanchez will begin very soon afterwards.
That's because the Jet fans just need, you know, by that time, would it be about third, fourth quarter, they would have had too much to drink then, so they're going to be calling anything out of the crowd by that point.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't give think of it right, you haven't really given Sanchez a lot of support around him. You have crazy Santonio Holmes, which I still don't quite understand how they made him a captain last year. This is the same guy, and I've said this a lot of times, the same guy whose judgment is highly questionable. This guy who got arrested for smoking marijuana in his car outside of his house. Dude, just go in your house. If you need this puff, just go in your house. Go through it outside your car. That's bad judgment.
Yeah. Listen, another thing about the Jets, if you look at the first 2 years under Mark Sanchez, he had stability on the offensive line. He had stability in the backfield. He had stability at the wide receiver. Third year, he basically had a revamp.
Well, Andrew, why, you know, you see this? How come, you know, nobody else saw this? I mean, I think the guy who's going to be called to task it, if they don't make it, is Tannehill. That's the guy you got to look at. Even though Ryan may take the fall, but Tannehill is the guy you got to agree on.
I agree. Look, some of the guys are getting old, so they had to make changes. But, all right, I'll give you another example. Right now, Bobby was talking about the fact they have no wide receivers that scare anybody. Not even Santonio Holmes scares anybody. Plaxico Burress is out there. Why won't they sign Plaxico Burress? I wouldn't deal with T.O. and the drama he brings, and I wouldn't deal with Ocho Cinco. Is he Ocho Cinco still, or what is he now, Bobby? Ocho Headbutter?
Chad Johnson. He's a regular old Chad Johnson now.
Chad Johnson was dumped by Miami.
He knows the offense. He knows the system. Physically, he can still bring it, especially in the red zone, and I think they're making a huge mistake by not re-signing him for 1 year.
They do that all the time because Randy Moore, they let him retire, and the 49ers were slick enough to unretire him, and now he's a deep threat. I mean, one thing here that is a fallacy, and it eats me alive. This Des Bryant, Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones is spending perhaps millions of dollars to have bodyguards, counselors, curfew checkers, the whole nine yards, because he's a good ball player.
Just one correction. Des Bryant's paying out of his own pocket for those bodyguards and the people to chaperone
out of his own
him.
Pocket of the salary that Jerry Jones gave him. But what I'm telling you is that it's just mind-boggling when you just mentioned something. Well, I won't deal with T.O. because he's trouble. What trouble? Is that Brian the choir boy? Hey, Chad Ochocinco. What problem? I mean, these guys are choir boys compared to this guy. And the same thing with Pac-Man Jones. I mean, what is this? When there are thousands of kids out there, maybe not as good, but will play their hearts out to get better. And they're out there where we take delinquents and keep them and protect them and escort them here and escort them there. That's nonsense. If they come out with a big bag of problems, believe you me, I wouldn't sign them. Because that's problems. That's the disruption of a team. I just don't understand how these guys are let go. They're talented guys with a clean record, a clean behavior, and they're let to die in the fields, and they got to protect these dudes, man. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I keep saying, and I repeat like a broken record, and Doc, you know me, like a broken record, man.
Yeah.
Here, Doc, McNabb, man, one of the best quarterbacks in the business, and they let him die.
You're right. I mean, McNabb was a guy that I thought could brought a lot to the table. I agree too. You know, the other guys. I mean, they're not the worst of a lot. T.O. is a guy. Andrew. I mean, to me, I would give T.O. a chance. I mean, you know, if Ty Cobb could be the first guy voted into the Hall of Fame, I'd give T.O. a shot. I mean, the bottom line is about winning. You gotta go. Okay, Andrew's eye is going to leave. Bobby Child is going to leave. I guess so. So, you know, forget about those checks, fellas. Forget about the checks, baby. You know, day in the mail. Forget about it.
Sir, I thought you were going to pay me in chicken fingers again, Doc.
But yeah, I got some more. Bobby Child from WVLS, one of the top football minds.
Good talking to y'all.
Sports, we had Dave Anderson. And gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, okay. Doc. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Great,
I'll see you in a few minutes. Doc Stanley, Sports Network for the Blake, but I never mean both, so the channel Sports Network for the show. Dusty, do me a favor. Could you drop out and give Rooney a call, and then you both of you guys call back?
Give Rooney a call? Oh, boy.
Do you have his number? Okay, you know what? Hold on. Yeah, I'll give it to you.
No,
917. 917. Okay, is it Bob Trainer? Is this Bob Trainer? I got a 9177. I look for Bob Trainer to join. Yeah, give him a shout. And I want to, I was hoping to get you guys, but I had to get the air so quick, so I just got to you. And actually, you were walking the dog, you know. But just drop off for a minute. Give Rooney a call, and you both of you all come on back on.
Rooney, okay. Give me his number, man, because I put his number in my Rolodex.
917. 917.
Hold on a second. Slow down, man. Oh. 917, go ahead.
I got to get it. Hold on.
Hold on.
That's got Rainbow Soul Channel Sports. We have time at the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys and Dave Anderson and Bobby Childs and Angelo Rosario. Were the people as well as Dusty's here. Let me get a hold of Money. Don't move. Dr. Stanley Sports Network, number one, but another Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show, and we're looking for Mel Cosell Smith to join us. Hold on there, Destanium.
Yeah.
Okay, 917.
Go ahead.
202.
2 what?
7619. 202.
Slow down, man. 202?
202. That's about the 18th time. 7619.
I 7619. And give me that 202. Is it 202?
Yeah, 202.
202 7619. Okay, I'll call him right now.
Yeah, 917. Okay. And again, Dusty, you're just disagreeing with you has become habitual. I'm going to have me a strong Mountain Dew in between the commercials to bring myself back together.
I know. Well, I'm going to have me a piña colada, so I don't know what is your problem. I'll call you right now. All right.
Whoa. Excuse me, can I box Stanley? Sports, I think Angelo Rosario was still contact with me. If I get hold of Bob Trainer, Mr. No, he left it, but we'll catch him on the next game here at Yeah, that's him. He's with us. So let's take a break. And I wonder if Rosie's with us. Rosie's with us. That would be a good thought. I haven't saw her on Skype. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show. I'll get some halftime stats right here for you, and I probably will. So just hang on a minute. We'll put a little music for you, and I'll be back with your halftime stats here of the Giants and Dallas Cowboys. It is halftime. No, it's the third quarter. At halftime, the Cowboys were leading, and now the Cowboys are still leading. And what we'll do for you, we're going to lay back and play a little Donny Hathaway for you. And after Mr. Hathaway is done, I'll be back with your halftime stats. Doc Stanley, Sports to Death, 1008. You're at the Rainbow Show, the channel Sports to Death, a show live from MetLife Stadium. It's the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, against the Super Bowl champion, New York Giants. Donny Hathaway, true love for us. Mr. Hathaway, please. Thank you.
Take your place. It was all in vain. were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space. All I saw was your sweet face.
Hello, Doc Stanley, Sports Jeff on the Blake, and Evergreen will still be supposed to ship. That's the whole site, little Johnny Hatch right here. Johnny is came in and took care of the car for us while we were away. Don't move. Jesse, hang in there. I'll be right back. Jesse, just a second, gang. Jesse, don't move. Johnny, don't stop singing.
You made me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space. All I saw was your sweet face. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space.
Well, it's sad time here, gang.
Yeah.
Doc? Uncle Louie.
I call Rudy. I left him a message.
I also left him one too. So let's look at the halftime stats here, Dusty. We got the Cowboys and the Giants. Look at the halftime stats here. We have rushing. The leading rusher for the Cowboys, 8 attempts, 20 yards, 2.5 is Murray. Top rusher for the Giants, 10 attempts, 19 yards, 1.9. His longest was 5 was Bradshaw. Passing Eli Manning was 8 of 14, total 83 yards, no touchdowns. And Tony Romo, other hand, 11 for 15, 138 yards, and a touchdown along with an INT. And that was big. Victor Cruz, our guy, 4 of 7, 4 catches, 46 yards, 11.5 average, 26 for the longest. And on the other side, they got D. Bryant, 23 yards, and Ogletree with the touchdown. And that was the difference.
He's fast.
At halftime.
I like that Ogletree. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now, it is the Dallas Cowboys have scored again. And something that I remember that first quarter where the Cowboys had like fourth and inches. I don't understand for me, Dusty, the going up the middle. And I agree with you. I don't understand why the likes of Terrell Owens couldn't get a shot. I mean, as I've always said, you don't have to sleep with the guy, you don't have to eat with the guy.
Exactly.
But the bottom line,
the bottom line is winning. And I don't, you know, now Bobby Child and Angelo made some great rationale why Brandon Jacobs didn't get the monies that he was asking. But I've always said, and I'm still by the fact that, you know, it's always a problem when it comes to playing African-American, and you can get a guy who's complex in the connection like Ali, and no matter what he brings to the table and what his deficiencies are, as minute as they are, they'll act like that is so paramount to the existence of the team being successful. But Owens, I don't understand why a guy like Owens can't get a job. I don't understand why, you know, Randy
Moss. These guys are still competitive. They got young bodies, although they're in their 30s. And they can still run a mile, they can still run a pass and score a TD and they keep him unemployed, man. I mean, this is what I don't understand. This is why this Tebow thing to me is like poison. I don't understand bringing this dude in here for what? Because Modell's is not going to sell more T-shirts.
Cut it out, Dusty. Calm down, Dusty.
No, really.
Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network, the show. It is our NFL opener live. You know, Dusty, I tell you what, right now, and I'm, you know, these officials have done a pretty good job here tonight.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that's an insult to them. I'm delighted that they have been on the money. Okay. And maybe it's a message to the others that these guys are doing such a good job, I can't come back. I lost my job. But they're on the money, and they're doing pretty well.
Well, you know, in this case, maybe it's the guys here, you know, here in New York. We're seeing, we don't know how the rest of the league is doing, but, of course, the guys here tonight are on top. Dusty, I got some boxing news. Card at the, what's his name, Zolkowski, who was going to, I think I sent you an email. We're going to fight in that card up on the Delvin Rodriguez card, former two-time champion. He had some broken ribs. The email will show you the whole setup. So he has the
Rodriguez got a broken rib?
No. The fighter's name is Zolf R.D. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but he was going to be part of that card. And he's got some broken ribs. So he won't be able to make that card. As we know, as we're moving towards fight time, I don't understand what Rooney is. As we're moving towards fight time, next week we will have the big Chavez and Rodriguez Martinez fight.
Yeah.
This week we got Andrew Ward.
Martinez, yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Underwood and Chad Dawson. The guy said some things about the Jets, too, that Sea Wings have always said, you know, in the Sanchez situation, and which kind of validates so much what you say. Excuse me, Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network, of who is better two quarterbacks. And we look at the subtractions that the Jets imposed on Sanchez, and there was no way, shape, or form he could have gotten back to those two championship games when he lost the kind of line support, lost the kind of offensive support. And as Bobby Trout said, you know, when you think about ends, what you've said so often when it comes to ends on the Jets, it all ends with Santonio Holmes.
Exactly. He's a problem child. But, I mean, he's productive, but then he's a problem child. He's productive, but then there's other factors involved with Santonio Holmes. You got to walk like on broken glass around the dude. You know, it doesn't make sense, you know, to me.
Well, I mean, let's go back to the situation with T.O. and Moss. I don't care what the guy does off the field. You know, I don't buy that club out stuff. But the point is, the big thing here is that whatever he is, he's the only one of them, though. I mean, you know, when it comes to offense, you know, when the quarterback fades back, if Santonio Holmes is covered, who are you going to throw the ball to?
Exactly. Yeah. He got thrown to the dude. But, I mean, it's something like there's something there that it just doesn't fall in place in my square brain as to why these freaking guys are not picked up and not moved, and they're still viable, they're still competitive, and they still can extend.
And you know what? You could get them too at their position at this time, at a very good price, Dusty. Right?
Very good price. Bargain basement, as long as they're playing, and they're productive. And
you're right.
Bargain basement.
Darn near the basement price, huh?
Exactly. And they'll be happy to take what they get as long as they're playing. It's like a guy who plays first base, and he can't play first anymore, but he can hit. So he becomes a DH.
Now, see, 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing at all.
Exactly. So
every
he becomes
single time.
A DH and perhaps becomes a quality DH. And there's an extension of his career. They say, "Ooh, man, we got to keep this guy, even if we keep him as a DH." So he has another 5 years. He added another 5 years to his career because he does his run. He sits on a bench. He keeps his knees clean. And he comes up and hits 3 or 4 home runs. Oh, man, that's the new guy's career. So these guys here can still run, can still take a short pass, can still be a deep threat, can still, chuck and jive up and down the field. But they let them die. They let them die, and they just get rid of them. And, it doesn't make sense. I feel sorry for them because, to me, at times I feel an embarrassment for them because they're trying out. They want to continue playing, and nobody gives a crap.
They just showed a stat. That says 2004, the Super Bowl champion has always won the kickoff game. Following season. Right now, the Giants are trailing with about a whole quarter of football left. They 7 points behind, 12:40 left in the game against the Dallas Cowboys here at MetLife Stadium. And the Cowboys have come back a couple of times and looked at they were. Actually, Dusty, looking at the Cowboys, as you're about to watch the game, as Bobby Charles said, to some things that they have a lot of problems. The big problems teams the Cowboys always have is that if there's a way to lose a game, it seems that Tony Romo will find a way to do that for them.
And Tony Romo right now, probably sitting on the sideline looking at a playbook, on the how to lose playbook, because that's what happens. He throws away the game. But in all seriousness, this is a must-win game for them. It's not a must-win game for the Giants. It's not going to make the Giants' season any worse or any better if they lose to the Cowboys. The Cowboys will go back home with the attitude that they won the Super Bowl in this game.
It's really becoming something that maybe you need to take a week or two off because we can't continue with this. Agreed. But you're 100% right, Dusty. This is awesome. If they can win this game against the Super Bowl champions at the Super Bowl champions field and a division game where the next time they'll play them in Dallas. Look, usually, Dusty, if you look back at that, the way it's been the last few years, the Giants own the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Own them.
They practically went to their locker room and said, okay, how many points you want us to beat you with, man? Because that's exactly what they did. want us to make it merciless, or you want us to have mercy on you?
How do you want to take this beat?
Exactly. How you want me to hit you? And that's basically what it is. And I looked at the schedule, and they play the Cowboys a second time. But guess what? The Giants don't have the Jets all season. And I'm saying, holy craps, how do they do that? They're not going to play the Jets all season. They play the Eagles twice.
It's rare. Well, the Eagles and the Cowboys are in their division. But it's rare that they seem to play each other. They play each other, regular season last year, and they will always play each other in the preseason because it works for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a home game for whoever is the home team, and it's really a home game for whoever is a visiting team. And usually I noticed that the Giants schedule that they played three games in preseason at home. They played the Jets, and then they played back-to-back games against New England. Yeah. And